Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now live from the studios of WMCA in New York, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's exciting to be in New York City. As you know, we're having our Simply Grace Tour event Saturday at the King's College, so I'm here for that. Also, WMCA is sponsoring an event tomorrow called the Day of Boldness, and I'm here to participate in that as well. And WMCA has graciously opened up their studio so we could broadcast today. And so grateful for the partnership. They're a wonderful team of people. They have a commitment to delivering the good news to the people of New York City. And we're just proud to be partners with them and to be a part of their daily programming lineup. So it's wonderful to be in the city today and looking forward to a great event this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, we're here right now for the purpose of our listeners calling in and being a part of that. And those of you who are listening in the New York area, if you'd like to get information on that or pose a question to Bob about the event, well, you can do that right now. Simply call 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And for those of you who'd like to get information, you can simply go online to basicgospel.net and click the events tab, and all that information, including a registration form, is there for your purposes right now. So we hope you'll join the team there in New York tomorrow at the King's College, and I think it's going to be a great event, Bob.
Well, it will be a great event, and so often with the radio broadcast, we hear bits and pieces of the good news of Jesus Christ. And we have all of these pieces, and maybe we're not sure exactly how they fit together. And that's why we do these conferences. The Simply Grace Tour is to help put the pieces together, to see how the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ all come together as one beautiful story that impacts our lives and changes us from the inside out. So that's why we want you to come and be a part of this. I guarantee you, when you walk away from that conference Saturday, you will have the big picture of what this gospel message is. And with that big picture, a lot of the daily issues that you encounter will be answered within the framework of the good news of Jesus Christ. So come join us this Saturday. We will be talking about the gospel. We will be talking about the fact that the gospel is simply grace from start to finish. God initiates into our lives. He does for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's the grace of God. And we respond to that through faith. So the plan of God, how the Christian life is really supposed to work, is by grace through faith. There is no other plan. There are no other options. We bring all kinds of options to the table, but they're not what God has for us. What he has for us is simply grace through faith, and we're really going to be hammering that this weekend, Saturday morning at the King's College. All the information on how you can sign up and be a part of it is right there at our website, basicgospel.net, and there's still plenty of time for you to sign up and come join us Saturday morning. As we've talked about this entire month, we're taking a deep dive into the gospel, looking at the different facets of it. And one of the things that we've seen, especially in the book of Hebrews, is that the law was a shadow of the things that were to come. They're not the reality. That's found in Jesus Christ. But there's this marvelous story that all of us know. It's the Exodus story. And in many ways, that foreshadows the person and work of Jesus Christ. It foreshadows his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The Israelites were in Egypt under bondage. We think of that in terms of the land of sin and death. Well, then God miraculously set the people free. He parted the Red Sea, and he brought them into safety and into freedom with the promise of an inheritance, a land where they could experience the goodness of God, a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, all of that foreshadows the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Paul talked about that in Romans 6. I think he had the Exodus story in mind when he was penning the words of Romans 6. And in verse 5, he says this, if we have been united with him in a death like his, and that's the parting of the sea, and the Egyptians died there, so they were, you know, the Israelites were baptized into that. It says, we'll certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So you and I were under the control of sin and death through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We've been set free. We've been baptized into Christ's death. We've been baptized into his burial. That means that old life has been done away with. And then we have been united with him in his resurrection so that we could walk in the newness of life. I just love that story of Exodus, and I love what it points forward to in Jesus and the freedom that we have as a result of what he's accomplished for us through his work on the cross and in death and in resurrection. It's quite the story, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, when you think about the things that God did for Israel and through Israel, and for all of the magnificence of that, that was just a shadow of what he had planned for us. It's humbling, and it builds your faith and gives you hope all at the same time.
Yes, it sure does. Well, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start today in Staten Island, New York, and talk with Joe listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing wonderful. How are you today?
Well, I'm a little troubled, sir. And please, I'm not trying to, you know, be argumentative. It's the last thing I want to do. I read the Bible, and I remember, you know, Christ saying to someone, how do you expect me to forgive you when you can't forgive this guy? But why didn't God forgive Adam and Eve? Because we all got punished.
Well, the consequence of sin is death, Joe, and when Adam and Eve sinned, when they chose to be independent of God, they forfeited the life that he had put in them. That was a spiritual life. They died physically much later, and their sin brought that about as well. Well, God always had a plan in Christ to restore that life to us, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we see a picture of that with Adam and Eve. They, you know, after they sinned, they were afraid of God. They hid from God. They realized that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves up. Well, God looked at that and said, that won't do. I'm not satisfied with that. And so he killed an animal and clothed them in animal skins and gave them a proper covering, so to speak. Well, that was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen for us, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we see in that act an act of grace to remove their shame and to remove their guilt from their sin. But as we know, the story of Jesus was going to happen some 4,000 years later, probably. And from that point forward, we get hints and clues and all kinds of things to tell us about this story of Jesus. So the people of the Old Testament, they could look forward to the coming Messiah. And so anybody who looked forward to the coming Messiah would experience a sense of forgiveness in their present day life. And I think God's act of clothing them was an act of grace, an act of forgiveness. Richard, do you have anything to add on that?
Well, I agree with you. He did forgive Adam and Eve. I mean, they were not wiped out. They were not blotted out of the timeline. He did forgive them, but there was a price to pay. They gave up the innocence that they were sharing with God, face-to-face communion, and they lost that because they chose to rebel. They chose to walk away. But he still forgave them. And then, according to Galatians, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. And so the plan had to work itself out, but there was still forgiveness. And that's why forgiveness is not salvation. Forgiveness keeps you from being destroyed, but forgiveness really makes possible the re-entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ where we do find that salvation. So that was, I believe that was offered to Adam and Eve, but they had to wait until the fullness of time. That was God's plan. I can't explain it any more than that, but that's how God chose to do it, and he was complete in that plan.
Yeah, Joe, and the passage in Genesis starts with Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And so that was an incredible act of kindness, an incredible act of grace, an incredible act of mercy and forgiveness on God's part toward Adam and Eve. And that certainly foreshadowed the forgiveness that we would receive in full in Christ Jesus. Well, Joe, hope that helps. We certainly appreciate your call, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Appreciate hearing from you, Joe. Plenty of open lines right now, friends. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. The phone number, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock and plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Tom. It says, I've read through Proverbs many, many times to gain some wisdom, until I read that Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, ended up worshiping foreign gods. How did he who was so wise come to do this? I'll have to say that now when I hear someone quoting Proverbs, my first thought is, look what happened to Solomon. Was it because he didn't have the Holy Spirit to free him from the power of sin? Please help me regain my former hunger to glean wisdom from Proverbs. That's from Tom, who dropped us an email.
Well, Tom, we certainly appreciate you writing to us. The book of Proverbs is a fascinating book, and it is filled with wisdom that Solomon learned. But one of the things that we see in Solomon's life when you read through the historical books about his kingdom and those sort of things is we see that he basically had a half heart. He had one foot in the truth of God, and he had one foot in the world. And so that's what eventually caused him to worship foreign gods. It started as he brought in foreign women, and he took them as his wives and concubines, and they had an influence on him, and they turned his heart toward the things of the world. But in that, he learned some wisdom that he provided in the book of Proverbs and also in the book of Ecclesiastes. But if we want to find real wisdom, we have to go to Jesus Christ. And our trust in Christ, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And how is that manifested in us? It's manifested in us through faith in Jesus Christ. As we walk in dependence upon the Lord, we're going to see his wisdom starting to flow through us. And I love how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He has become for us, Jesus has become for us, wisdom. So Jesus Christ is our wisdom. And as we walk by faith and apply the truth of what he's given to us in day-to-day life, we're going to see that wisdom making a difference in our day-to-day experience. So wisdom is Jesus. We experience it by trusting him. Well, let's go to the Bronx, and we're going to talk with Franklin listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Franklin.
Hello. How you guys doing? How's that?
We're doing well, Franklin. Welcome to Basic Gospel. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I want to bring up Adam and Eve again. My question is about the creation of man with because he talks about creating humans in the 6 day in chapter 1 of Genesis, and then on chapter 2 is when he talks about starts talking about how he created Adam and Eve after. Is that like a separate thing, or he created when they created Adam and Eve on the sixth day also?
Well, I think he created on 6 days, and he created man on the sixth day. And when I say man, I think he created Adam and Eve. And I think chapter two just gives us more details about how that took place. So it's not two separate creations. I think it's one gives us the 30,000-foot view, and then as we go into chapter two, we see the detail of how that took place, how he formed Adam from the dust, and then he took a rib out of Adam, and he formed Eve. And that became humanity. That became mankind, Adam and Eve together. Does that make sense to you, Franklin?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. This is the real reason why I'm asking it is because as we go later on with Cain, because he knows his wife, and then I was just wondering what she come from, because there were no other people yet. There was just Adam and Eve.
Well, Adam and Eve, you know, they were the first couple. They were given the command to be fruitful and multiply, and certainly they carried that out. So a lot of times we wonder, where in the world did Cain and Abel, where did their wives come from? Well, we're thinking of Adam and Eve as if they were living in the 21st century. You know, they probably lived to be 80. You know, their productive or fertile years were between the ages of, you know, 20 and 40, something like that. And, you know, probably in that time frame, they could only have a couple of kids. Well, that's not the way it was at all. Adam and Eve lived 900 plus years. And so there was a multiplicity of children born to them, and then to their offspring. And so when you look at it in that time frame, you see, oh, I see where Cain and Abel's wives could have come from. Richard, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, it might be confusing a little bit, because you only hear after Adam and Eve, you hear the story of Cain and Abel and then of Seth and then on through the rest of the patriarchs. And that's because the Bible is intended to be a story overall about how Jesus came and fulfilled everything he fulfilled. All of the Bible points forward to Jesus. Therefore, it doesn't cover all of the history of everything that was going on from the very beginning. So, and also, because Adam and Eve were created perfect, their genetic code was far better than what we're living with now. And you wouldn't have had, of course, I'm speculating here, you wouldn't have had the same kind of problems that interbreeding would cause in our day. And so, coupled with the time that they had and the fact that the story is an overview rather than specifics, I think it's a fairly safe speculation that all of those children were born, and all of those children had many children, and they took God's injunction fairly seriously, be fruitful and multiply.
Well, Franklin, hope that helps. And if you have an opportunity, come join us this Saturday at the King's College for the Simply Grace Tour. We would love to have you there, and you can get some more of those questions answered. All the information on how you can join us is at basicgospel.net. Just click the events tab, and if you can, come join us. I'd love to meet you face-to-face, Franklin.
Well, Franklin just left the line. In just a moment, we'll go talk to Sophia listening in Daly City, California. But, Bob, I want to remind our listeners right now just briefly that we are, of course, as I said yesterday and as I've said many times, a listener-supported broadcast. And we need your ongoing support, friends, to keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the air, his love, grace, and life that is available to you and that you hear about every day on this Basic Gospel broadcast. If you can help us with a gift this month, we would genuinely appreciate your partnership with us. And for that gift of any amount, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher CD, Something New. And that Something New is a very vital thing. It would be like the life of Christ. So we encourage you to take advantage of that, and at the same time, make your contribution to the ministry to help undergird and support us as we move forward to proclaiming Him day by day.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Daly City, California, and talk with Sophia, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Sophia.
Hi. Hi, and good afternoon, brothers. Good afternoon. I love your show. Thank you. I had a question. I'm growing in the Word of God. I've been saved for about 8 years, and I just want to have a better understanding. And I'm reading the Bible, and I do pray about that, and I thank God for that. But I have a question regarding temptation when God says that in James 1:13, He says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And then I read in Matthew 4, when it says that Jesus was led of the Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit of God, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then I read in Matthew 6 regarding the prayer, how we ought to pray. And it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So I was kind of confused on that that part about God not being tempted with evil, neither does he tempt man to do evil. So why do we pray, "God lead us not into temptation," if he doesn't tempt us with evil? Well, and I'm not questioning God. I just want to have a better understanding. So I just want to know.
Yeah, well, great question. And I really appreciate how you're diving into the Word of God and trying to put all of these pieces together. That is just so admirable, Sophia. I just encourage you to continue your journey, continue to dig in deeply into the Word of God, and trust the Holy Spirit. He will bring answers to your mind. I think as far as temptation is concerned, I think we do need to start with James. When you're tempted in this world, Sophia, that temptation is not sourced by God. He is not making that happen. He is not tempting you. Those temptations are coming from three things: either Satan himself, the world system in which we live in, or the sinful desires that live in our flesh. Those could be the three sources of temptation. So God is not the author of any temptation. He will never lead us into temptation. He will never dangle anything out there. When we look at Jesus, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, but it was Satan that was doing the temptation. And so Jesus had to experience what we're going to experience in this world so that he could be sympathetic and empathetic with us. So he actually knows how we feel. He's been tempted exactly the way we have been, yet he was without sin. So that's why Jesus was led by the Spirit, so that he could learn obedience to his Father, so that he could share that with us, so that we could walk in obedience and faith in Jesus Christ. And then as far as the prayer is concerned, I think that's more of, Lord, don't allow. I mean, if I have my druthers, I would rather never be tempted. And so that's kind of my prayer. And I think that's what that's talking about. Lord, you know, if you could, don't allow it. But we do live in this world. We are going to be bombarded by temptations. They're going to hit us every single day. But we have Jesus Christ living in us. We can trust him. And as we trust him, we can learn to say no to sin and yes to Christ.
Yes, I just want to have a better understanding of why do we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And, of course, we're led into temptation all the time. And God says that I'm not tempted with evil. I don't, you know, neither do I tempt man with evil. So I was wondering, like, why do we pray that prayer? Is he leading us into temptation? Like, why,
I'm saying we're praying, Lord, don't allow it. I think that's what that right. that verse
well, to both
is
of you, we are.
Praying.
I'm sorry. We are so sorry. We are out of time, and we'll be back for okay. that teaching edition tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.